Welcome to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
Most assuredly so.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander. Bunker DeFrance is back from his stint down at the Empire Ranch.
I'm back again in the saddle.
Todd Roberts is missing in action someplace.
He heard I was back.
That must have been it. Anywho, I called the topic for this edition of the program Free Range.
Free range.
Whatever blows up our skirt, I reckon.
Yeah, open range.
Well, we did that last week.
Kitchen range.
Rustler range. You know, I like
singing
it.
Singing in the range.
I like the, on YouTube, the captions. They use AI for those things. Mm-hmm. And you've experienced that when we've watched something, mm-hmm. where I can't remember what the thing was, but the caption was sex wax.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so they just can't get these things together, and they're a hoot.
Yeah.
Hoot to watch.
I'm going to make one up because I just did it here a minute ago before we were on the air. But picture this. This is the line. Catherine was a postulate for the Sisters of St. Mary. Well, thanks to the way AI works, the word postulate becomes Mary was a prostitute for the Sisters of St. Mary.
I know. They're just so doggone funny. And, you know, if I had more time on my hands, I would volunteer to caption, but no.
I sometimes get those stuff in my notes, but they seldom bubble up to the surface, which is probably just as well.
All right. I know you're itching at the bit to get going with the Bunker's Bunkhouse.
I'm twitching at the bit. Yes, indeed. Well, coming to you. Oh,
it's your theme.
Yeah.
For Uncle Alvin.
Yeah. That's the frog song.
It is.
The frog song.
Frog rag. The hell is this? Frog legs rank rag.
Okay. Hell, Froggy went a courtin' and he did ride 'em. Oh, Froggy went a courtin' and he did ride 'em. Oh, Frog went a courtin' and he did ride. Took the pistol by his side.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great Tex Ritter song.
It was.
Oh, yeah. I love that song. I could sing it all day long.
Yeah, you might.
Verse after verse, making them up as I want them all. Anyhow, coming to you from Bunker's Bunkhouse is another edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Bovine. And the way this works, I know you're getting sick and tired of hearing me explain it, but there just might be one brand new listener out there
that
doesn't know.
That's
or
right.
Maybe like the rest of them, they've done forgot already. But anyhow, what I do is I start with today, which is the 7th.
8th.
8th of November. See, I'm already bumfuzzled.
Must have got thrown off a bowl or something down at the ranch.
Oh, my head got stepped on. Anyhow, I go back 3 days in time, history, whatever, and I go forward 3 days using today as the pivot day, which means 7 days altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But the first day we're going to touch on, and this is kind of a rich week, by the way, on November 5th, 1905. And anybody, you can jump in anytime you want, Harry. And
okay.
If Todd ever catches up with us, he can do the same. Anyhow, Joel McRae was born.
Oh, yeah.
His career spanned a wide variety of genres over 5 decades. He was best known for his westerns and for his early comedies. Some of his odors, and I was only going to name a couple or two, and man, I went nuts because there were just so many, and I couldn't, so I just picked the ones that I really, really liked. And I'm going to start with Wells Fargo, 1937.
Mm-hmm.
Union Pacific, 1939.
Great movie.
Buffalo Bill, 1944.
Excellent movie.
That's a good Buffalo Bill story.
It is. Yeah.
And the fight with him and Anthony Quinn at the river.
Yeah.
Wow, that's one of the great fights. Anyhow, then we move on up to the Virginian, 1946.
Mm-hmm.
Ramrod, 1947. That's a good movie. Four Faces West, that's one of my all-time favorites. And then maybe my favorite is Colorado Territory.
Oh, yeah.
With Virginia Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, mm-hmm. I fell in love with her. Every time I watch that movie, I fall in love with her all over again. Saddle Tramp, 1950. And that is one of the best, really. It's not your typical action western. It's a cattle drive movie.
Yeah, yeah.
With, what was the kid's name?
I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was like this young, spoiled kid.
Yeah. The family is traveling west on the train, and the train stops, I'm thinking, for water.
Yep.
And the kid decides he's going to go explore, even though they told him don't go anywhere. But he disobeys, of course, and goes out. And then the train starts to go away.
Oh.
And he can't catch it. And so he's out in the on the range there all by his little own self.
Nothing between him and Texas but the Panhandle.
That's right. And so McRae finds him, and he whips him into a good...
He becomes a man.
He becomes a man. He understands. He teaches him the cowboy way.
Yeah, he becomes not a city man, a cowboy man.
Yeah.
And then following that up with Black Horse Canyon. I just like that movie. It's just a horse movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of his best, too, Trooper Hook with Barbara Stanwyck.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And, of course, Cattle Empire, another more cowboys. Fort Massacre, which is one of his darkest roles.
Wow.
That's a noir.
Yeah. Joel McRae never played in a, never portrayed an actor in a war movie, but this is probably as close as he would have gotten to it if he had. I mean, wow, what a dark character!
Yeah, I love that movie. And then, of course, I'm going to finish with Ride to High Country,
mm-hmm.
which that's just one of the great movies
it
of all
is.
Time,
yeah.
And it's also a seminal film in that the ending of the West was the theme of that movie. And you look at what follows it, the Wild Bunch, you know, just all those movies like
that. Yeah.
Undefeated, you know, it's the end of the West. It's not the end of the West, but the changing of the West.
Yeah.
And then he finished out with a little movie called Mustang Country, which was just him and a young boy, again, him you know, bringing him up into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next feller, or the next day, which is the same day, November 5th, 1911, is Roy Rogers, king of the cowboys,
mm-hmm.
singer, actor, known for his Western films and TV shows, founding member of the Sons of the Pioneers, wife, your favorite actress, Dale Evans. You should see Harry, he's cracking up over there. And his horse, Trigger, his dog, Bullet, and the Jeep, Nellie Belt.
Yep.
And he was definitely a matinee idol. 10 consecutive years in the top 10 money-making Western stars. And that was up until the poll stopped, or he'd have probably kept on going.
Mm.
And a few of his odors, and again, I got carried away, because there's so many. But Under Western Stars, mm-hmm. 1938, and that was also his first starring role.
Any of them without Dale Evans are great.
Well, you know what's interesting? That's his first starring role. He actually did 15 films before this. Singing,
yeah.
You know, little stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And every, you know, for years I thought, you know, that the Ken Maynard and then the Autry giving him his whole song.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the case.
Mm.
I mean, he did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, also, this guy was probably... He did a bunch of... Some of these 15 things were yodeling jobs.
Yeah.
The Little Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Mm-hmm.
He did the yodeling in that.
You know,
Mr. Disney liked him. He did a couple other. Anyhow, moving on, he did Dark Command 1940 with John Wayne, mm-hmm. playing a straight role, not a Roy Rogers, which he did in most of his film. And then one of his favorite films, so I think it might have been his favorite, My Pal Trigger, 1946, in the Trail of Robin Hood, 1950. And that was special because that was a Christmas show. It had all of the Republic actors, mm-hmm. cowboy stars, coming to help Roy and Jack Holt because someone, Jack had a Christmas tree farm, and this is a good show. He had a Christmas tree farm, and somebody was rustling his Christmas tree.
What?
How do you rustle a Christmas tree?
Bad form.
Did you stampede him or what?
I don't know. We have to ask Charlie King about
yeah.
that one.
And then what else have we got here? Oh, and then his last movie, which I really, really liked, was Macintosh and TJ, 1975. Again, he's like an old cowboy that's just going from ranch to ranch, picks up this kid hitchhiking who's a troubled Jew.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of the movie, he straightens him out.
Mm-hmm.
And at that age, he had one of his spectacular Roy Rogers fights in this thing.
Mm.
And so anyhow, now we're going to move on up to the sixth. I thought we'd never get out of the fifth. November 6, 1860. And 61, this is a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
Abe Lincoln is the 16th president of the United States, was born. In 1861, the following year, Jefferson Davis, the future president of the Confederacy, was born.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
I don't think you got eight. It's not 1860.
It's 1860. And
it can't be.
No,
it can't be born.
Oh, my God. Beware AI. Either that or it was just my incompetence.
Yeah, the print's getting awful close to the paper these days.
Well, no, it's ADD and aged ADD.
Anyway.
Anyhow, moving on to the seventh, forgetting all about the sixth, 1805, I hope this is right, Lewis and Clark first sight the Pacific at the mouth of the Columbia River and spent the rest of the day body surfing. Okay, now, on this day, the 8th, but in 18...
Oh, wait, you forgot something on the 7th.
What did I forget?
Jackie's.
Oh, Jackie Fuller, Hummer, oh my God, excuse me, Jackie, and...
We're not going to say how old she is. She was the stunt person for Linda in High Chaparral.
Christelle, yeah. And she was the first movie that I know of that she worked on was the one with Alan Ladd and Ernie Borgnine. They shot it here in Tucson. Oh, my gosh. And I am getting old. I was unexpected there, Harry.
Okay.
You know, without my scribbles here, mm-hmm. I can't do anything. Now, on the 8th of November in 1851, a young fella, because he was being born, was John Henry Halliday.
Hmm.
His friends called him Doc. Anyhow, he was a dentist, a gambler, a gunfighter. And if I put a question mark behind gunfighter.
Yeah, I would do that too. All the movies portray him as being a gunfighter. I don't think he was the gunfighter that they think he was.
He was a dangerous man.
He was.
And part of the thing, one of the earliest things I read about him is that he did like what a lot of people back then did. They encouraged the reputation of being bad and deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Because, is that Todd coming on?
I don't know. Nope.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. And then anyway, we'll move on to the 9th. November 9, 1900, Theodore Roosevelt, one of our favorite presidents. He's the first U.S. president to travel abroad while in the White House. He traveled via the USS Louisiana to visit the Republic of Panama. I think he was planning on digging a ditch. I don't know. And also on that day, guy I knew pretty well, this is November 9, 1920, Whitey Hughes, one of the unsung heroes of stunt work. The Hughes brothers were fantastic.
Hmm.
Most of you are probably more familiar with his work from Wild Wild West. He doubled Conrad, coordinated an awful lot of the stuff on that. But he goes way back. He was a cowboy from day one. He ended up in Yuma. Gone, but he is missed. And then November 11, 1779, Second Continental Congress establishes the Continental Marines with two battalions. Marine Corps, it's also the Marine Corps' birthday coming up on the 10th, so I expect everybody out there to get a cupcake, put a candle in it, and salute it and sing it.
I thought they already had their birthday.
Well, no, this is they were celebrating the 250 years of it, but according to this, of course, this may be as reliable as my other date there, too. You never know. But one of the things I did, I came up with some of the Marine Corps phrases, or, you know, the catchphrase, like mm-hmm. the sitcoms all have, mm-hmm. and they start with, "Retreat, hell, we just got here." "A ship without Marines is like a garment without buttons." That's a Navy one. "No better friend, no worst enemy." That's Marine. "Semper Fidelis, always faithful." "Do not fear the enemy. They can only take your life. It is better to fear the media, for they will take your honor."
Ooh, yeah.
Man, the Marines had it down right. And then we'll finish out this week with November 11. Now, we know what's special that day.
A very solemn day.
Yes, it is. It's Veterans Day.
Used to be called Armistice Day.
You have that here on my notes. I'm glad you spread that up.
Thank you.
Because that's important. Anyhow, it marks the end of hostilities in World War I.
11th hour, 11th minute of the 11th day.
That's right. We'll skip that part because you already covered that. There's a national ceremony held annually at Arlington National Cemetery with a wreath laying at the Tomb of the Unknowns. And this also is also sometimes called Poppy Day among veterans.
Yes.
And that's the week that was, or will be, or could have been.
See, I have my poppy right here.
There you go.
All right.
I love poppies.
Okay, so I guess what we're going to do then is take a commercial break here and come back on the show and figure out what the hell else we're supposed to be doing. So it's Emil Franzi's Voices of the West with Harry Alexander and Bunker de France. Todd Roberts missing in action, so we'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and a hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Keep walking. Two guns trained on you. One false move and we'll fill you full of lead.
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France. Todd Roberts missing in action. We think we know what happened to him. Johnny Bond there. The great Roll On song. Good stuff.
This was more of that.
Lay on the prairie and looked at the stars in the sky. I wondered if ever a cowboy drift to that sweet by and by.
Yep, good stuff, man.
That is good. So smooth.
Good stuff. I remember.
All you punk rockers out there, you suck.
I remember when I was able to get, when I got to the Autry Museum, they had musical cowboy stuff set up, and Ray Whitley's guitar and Johnny Bond's, one of Johnny's guitars, and some of their music, and it was like,
oh, yeah.
Great guys.
You know, when I lived out in California, they, about once a month, the Western Music Association would have a jam session out at the Autry on a Sunday, and man, it would pack out, but it was always all the top Western singers in the area. You know, yeah. It wasn't the big names, but sometimes they'd show up, some of those guys, and it's hog heaven here.
Yep. All right, so we think we know what may have happened to our good buddy Todd.
Time warp.
Time warp. And he...
So stay tuned, because he'll probably be calling in about a quarter of, thinking it's a quarter of in California.
But it's like a quarter of. It's not the right time. And, you know, this happens frequently, so that's okay.
Well, you know, Harry, I have something.
Okay.
Because I made a decision back that whenever we're doing one of our open range shows, I'm going to have some material.
Very good.
And you might want to draw this up on your computer screen there, because we're going to visit Sky High, a Tom Mix Western made in 1922.
Oh, yeah.
And just to kind of bring you, the working titles on it was Go Get Her and The Go Getter. And I don't know why that was. That's just the way they do things out there. But anyhow, it ran for 55 minutes. It was black and white, and it was silent. The production company and the distributor was Fox Film Corporation, which became 20th Century Fox later, and whatever it is now that's been bought up by the conglomerates. The director, story, and screenplay was given to us by Len Reynolds. William Fox, he was the head of the studio, was the presenter, or actually the producer. Director of photography was Benny Klein, a very good photographer, especially for those days. Assistant director was George Weber. Cameraman was Blaine Waller. And the cast was?
Tom Mix.
Tom Mix, and he played Grant Newberry.
And Tony the Horse.
And he was an inspector of immigration. And, you know, it's funny, because some of the stuff I read about it, they were saying, you know, in today's climate, that would not be a good role for a star.
And who cares?
And I thought,
God, you know,
Raspberry.
It's the garbage of the woke bull, you know.
No.
It is stupid.
It is. It's ludicrous, because it's... You know, everybody likes to live in a fantasy world, and that's what they live in. But most people also have a real world and are able to balance it. They look at this stuff and it's like they go in there looking for stuff that, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. it's our quest. It's got to find something wrong with it that, so we can condemn it.
Yeah.
And but so it's basically so they can control us.
That's it. This was the Sky High, the first aerial photography in a movie of the Grand Canyon.
And it's magnificent.
Oh, yeah. And you had some interesting tidbits about the photography on that.
Well, I've got a little more stuff here I want to cover here. J. Farrell McDonald, who you're probably familiar with because he wasn't that young then, but he was in later on. He was in the Hoppies and all kinds of B westerns and stuff. And he played kind of the elder statesman. Did a lot of straight movies, crime things. A good actor. Mm-hmm. The leading lady was Eva Novak, and she did quite a bit of stuff. Sidney Jordan, who played Andrew Bullet Bates, who's one of the lead heavies, was also a very, very close friend of Mick's, and they used to go out and drink and party and hoorah together. And so that's just the way they work. And then William Buckley, he plays a kind of a cad.
Not the William Buckley that...
Not the F. Buckley. And the F doesn't mean what you're thinking.
Clean up
your minds. Adele Warner, who played William Buckley's sister, they play a minor part in there. They're just kind of like a fun thing. And, of course, Tony the Horse. But I want to point something out there. Because I love reading all these different people reviewing this, especially from today.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, and the horse fell with him, and he got back up on and kept going right in the shot. The only problem was it wasn't Tony. It was a white horse.
Mm-hmm.
Tony was never white.
No, brown horse.
Not being politically incorrect saying he was never white. He was a dark-colored horse. And... Where are we going here?
Oh, you forgot one of the other extras in that art mix.
I was getting to him, but go ahead.
Well, Art is art mix. That was not his real last name, and I don't remember how he came to take that name or if it was given to him.
The studio, the whoever.
So. There you go.
And also a couple of more. Finish up with a couple more of the henchmen. Fat Chrisman and Win Mouse. They were called henchmen. And also, Art was also the fellow who starts the saloon fight.
Yes.
Which is, that's the bad guys trying to frame Mick's look, and he'll have to go with them.
Hey, look who I found.
What did you find?
Roberts.
Hello?
Oh, I'm glad you woke up from your nap.
Hello?
You have a good nap?
There are no naps, Bunker. There are no naps. There's no naps. When Nola is in the house, there are no naps.
Uh-uh. No. We're going to blame it on Nola, clear. Huh?
Yeah.
So you got confused by clock change, didn't you?
I surely did, and I'm not going to try to say it has anything to do with liquor.
Of course not.
Of course not. It's just a hangover that bothers you.
It's stupid daylight time.
You know what we're doing?
Nothing.
Yes. We're going straight to hell.
Well, we've been there without you. It's like it's hell without you, darling. We miss you.
Why would you leave without me? Why? Why can't
because
you?
Because the train was leaving.
Let the train pull out of the station.
Train was pulling out of the station, and it was like all aboard or stay behind.
Anyway, we were talking about Tom Mick's movie Sky High, 1922. The big thing about it is that it captured the Grand Canyon first time photographically from the air, and quite an achievement back in those days.
Yeah.
And Bunker, you got that little tidbit about how a photographer?
Yes, I'm right there. I'm just hanging on that right now. Bud Greth, it's Geeth, was the stunt pilot on that, and Dick Grass was also the stunt double for Mix. And in there, when you see him hanging under the plane, flying through the Grand Canyon, it was a Dick, and not. But the funny thing is, doing one of the shots, because he was, like I say, he was doubling Mix. He almost fell out of the plane, and Bud saved his life.
Wow.
And one of the things on top of this is, you know, with the thermals in the Grand Canyon,
I was going to say,
you know, they say sometimes an updraft would reach 200 miles an hour,
yep.
or a downdraft.
Yep.
And they were flying through that. They actually were going into unexplored territory when they flew in.
Very much so. You know, you read about airplanes crashing in the Grand Canyon,
yeah.
the charter services and whatnot. I try and do it on my flight simulator, and I always crash.
Our good friend Jackie, who we just mentioned her birthday, she lost her first husband. He was a pilot, but he was doing a dog leg back as a passenger, and the plane went down over the Grand Canyon. Commercial flight.
Wow.
So now, I will tell my one Tom Mix story.
Okay.
years ago, well, I used to always go to vintage shows and, you know, what my mom referred to as cowboy shows or Indian shows, cowboy and Indian shows. And we're walking through, and I was looking around this lady's booth, and she had some black and white photographs over in the corner. And I pulled one out, and it's Tom Mix.
Wow.
And he's standing in his living room in Beverly Hills. And the photograph, the photographer took the photograph up on the ladder. So he's looking up, and you're getting a big view of this corner or part of the living room. And he's got a huge, I don't know what it is. It's not a bucket, but it could be a cane or an umbrella holder. It's full of arrows. And he's standing in front of the wrought iron staircase that is behind him that kind of curls around him. And on each wrought iron stem, he's got spurs hanging. And they go all the way up. And I looked at this, and I said, I might have said this to my mother and my ex-wife simultaneously. Look, Tom Mix can do it. Why can't I? Because I was being told, hey, you know, enough is enough. You know, who wants to live in a bunkhouse? And I said, and I was so excited, and I so desperately wanted to buy the photograph, and it was a beautiful print, unmatted. And I was like, oh, God, how much is it? And it was expensive. It was probably $250 to $300.
Wow.
And I both got the – I got two evil eyes. But I was like, just realize that I'll always remember this photograph, that I have an excuse for the way – I want to decorate.
There you go.
And it was just, it was so beautiful.
That's funny.
Golly. And he had the biggest smile on his face. He just looked so happy. Yeah.
It's almost like seeing a Molesworthy for the first time.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, or anything that, you know, if you can just think of a child, you know, walking into a toy store at Christmas. That's, I was like, I swear to you, I could hear music. There were angels blowing trumpets. It was really fabulous.
A golden glow was over everything.
All right.
There was a glow. There was a glow.
We're going to take our next commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. It's a free range program, and we've got a lot more to come right after this.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ol Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Keep your hands on the desk, Gorman.
I thought I told you to stay out of town.
Listen, you three, I don't mind being ambushed. Sometimes I think it's fun, but I don't think it's fun when there's a lady along.
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles.
Finally.
I don't know. Do you think?
I'm a late bloomer. What do you expect?
That's okay. All right, fellas. Have you ever been ambushed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've been ambushed? Is it fun?
I've been bushwhacked so many times.
Is it fun?
I've also bushwhacked.
Is it fun?
It's more fun to bushwhack.
Only when you're quick on the draw.
Okay.
If you're not quick on the draw and you're as slow as molasses like me, and you get caught with your pants down, you're not happy. Let's just say it like it is. I was once ambushed at a party, a fraternity party with a bunch of guys that I knew, and I wasn't a member of this fraternity.
They
said, oh, come on over. We're having a party. You got to come, buddy. So I come over there and I'm hanging out and we're all talking and just having a nice, simple evening, and I'll might be disguising things a touch. And all of a sudden, we're kind of in a circle, and all of a sudden, this person busts through, and she gets right up to my face, and she's yelling at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm going, why is this female yelling at me? I don't recognize her. And all of a sudden, I did recognize her. And she was very angry at me for not calling her and us going out again. But we didn't go out again because she had a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. He was big.
She didn't tell me that until about halfway through the date.
Mm-hmm.
And she's screaming at me and ranting and raving and flapping her arms like a chicken. And then she just storms off. And the group of guys I'm with look at me and go, Jesus, TR, we know there's a story, but we just don't have time for it.
That's funny.
Oh, that's great. Well, I want to give you a brief synopsis of Sky High.
Mm-hmm.
Government agent, that's Mix, infiltrates gang that is smuggling Chinese aliens and pursues their ringleader throughout the West, and I'm going to do a quote from that in just a second here that will explain it all. But I want to go into, in 1998, this film was added to the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. And it was, cameraman, Blaine Walker, received a gold medal from Fox Film for his enterprise in obtaining the first motion picture footage of the Grand Canyon taken from an airplane. Now, this is the quote, and this will explain beautifully the movie. And this was also on the title card. You've done your work. This is the head of the Border Patrol talking to Mix. You've done your work pretty well, but now I'm going to find out just how good you are. 200 chop suey eating Chinamen will try to cross the border near Calexico without bothering to ask Uncle Sam. What's more, it's smuggling, and they're smuggling jewels and laces. Now, think about that. Reading the, you missed earlier this part, but reading some of the reviews and comments on this film, everybody took offense at the chop suey eating Chinaman.
This is an outrage. A dead burned outrage.
That's right. You tell him, Gabby. But, you know, that is. And there's another quote. Oh, and this is Wayne talking to the girl. And he's talking about the Chinese that are, they're hiding them in the bottom of the Grand Canyon, by the way. He says, it's a bunch of Chinese growing vegetables for Fred Harvey. They objected to that one, too. I don't know.
You know, the scolds will be scolds. And there's just nothing, as the great Ron White says, you can't fix stupid.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's
an interesting comment about Mix. The yardstick by which all B Western stars are measured. And at that time it was, because he had come after William S. Hart and Harry Carey. But he was a different kind of star.
Yeah.
And he was probably the first international American movie star.
Interesting.
Okay. And I also have a Tom Mix timeline here.
Well, now.
Yeah, just happened to have it here.
Imagine.
And Todd, jump in here anytime you want to squeak at us.
Okay.
Anyhow, he was born, this is interesting, he was born Thomas Edwin or Hezekiah Mix, depending on which AI source you happen to stumble upon. Most of them seem to, the regular sources seem to favor Hezekiah. And he was born on the 6th of January, 1880, Mix Run, Pennsylvania. Well, that means maybe the family had been there a while. 1902, joined Army, later deserted to head west, ending up in Oklahoma, married first wife Grace Allen, annulled 1 year later. Moving on into 1904, performed at the St. Louis Exposition as drum major with the Oklahoma Cavalry Band. So I wonder if that's National Guard. Would that have been territorial? Well, that would just say were state.
Yeah, it was state, but probably at university or something.
Yeah. Well, no, it was the cavalry band.
Oh, cavalry. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the army was there. In 1905 to 1908, he worked as a bronchbuster for the Miller Brothers 101 Wild West show, and he also rode in Theodore Roosevelt's inaugural parade.
Hey.
Yeah, along with Geronimo, Sitting Bull. I don't know if Geronimo was Sitting Bull was there, I don't know. 1908, married Ollie Stokes, toured Wild West show circuit together. 1909, first film for Selig Polyscope Company, and also Mix won the National Riding Championship at the Prescott Rodeo. His first film appearance, what is that? The Cowboy. I can't even read this. The Cowboy Millionaire. And in 1917, signed with Fox Film Corporation, became one of Hollywood's first cowboy stars. Actually, I think that's wrong, because Bronco Billy and Hart and Hoot Gibson. Anyhow, 1920s, one of the highest paid movie stars, known for stunts and horsework. And for his horse, Tony. Tony was getting as famous as he was. What is this? 1933, he organized his own Tom Mix Circus and Wild West show. In 1935, career effectively ended with the arrival of sound, although he did do a couple of sound things. 1938, circus venture ended, and then I'm going back in time now to January 10th, appeared itself in a doc short, Ranch Life in the Great Southwest, which was a successful and launched his movie career. And that was basically a documentary, and they were shooting on the ranch, and somebody in the camera crew said, you know, that guy looks like a cowboy. 1911, served briefly as Night Marshal of Dewey, Oklahoma. 1920s, Hollywood, first major Western star and highest paid actor at $17,000 a week.
Whoa!
That's a bunch of money.
It is.
From 1922, second daughter born, Thomasina. Horse Tony becomes co-star in Just Tony. He got his own billing. Probably got his own driver, too. 1927, Mix and Tony, Hand and Hoof Prints at Grauman Chinese Theater. January 1929 was Paul Bearer at Wyatt Earp's funeral. Stock market also crashed that year, which really hurt his finances. From 1929 to 31, he toured with Sells Photo Circus, earning substantial weekly salary. In 32, he divorced Victoria Ford, married fifth wife Mabel Hubbard Ward. Man, he married a lot of women. That's also had a lot of alimony.
Mm-hmm.
1933, organized his own traveling Tom Mix service and Wild West show. Popular Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters radio show began. He lent his name to the show, but he did not appear on it, primarily because of old throat injuries. He always had problems, even in the sound era. Mm-hmm. He had problems. He could only talk for a little while, and then his voice would go.
Well,
1935, final film, 15 serial chapters, Miracle Rider, a major hit. From 1938 to 36 to 38, he toured with the Tom Mix Circus. And it all comes to a head in October 1940, killed at age 60 in a car accident near Florence, Arizona, when the cord he was driving overturned in a wash. A heavy aluminum suitcase full of cash and coin on the package rack behind him broke loose, hit him behind the head, and broke his neck. In 1958, he was posthumously inducted into the Western Performers Hall of Fame, and that's his timeline.
He's quite a guy.
Yeah.
And he owns some nice ranches.
Yeah.
In Arizona, in other words.
Yeah.
And he was a class act. Everybody liked working with him.
You know, his trip to England, they wouldn't let him take Tony because England's, you know...
The laws there,
mm-hmm. Animal things. If you want to take your dog to England, he has to sit there for a year in quarantine,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For a 2-week trip.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Also, I have just a little brief history here on the director, Lynn Fairfield Reynolds, who did, of course, direct the show and the script and everything. He directed more than 80 films, wrote 61 films, was an actor in 3, produced 2. He was a former newspaper reporter in Iowa. Reynolds played in several films before he would go into work for Barton King, and he then joined Universal as a writer-director. And his biggest hit was Riders of the Purple Sage in 1925, again starring Mix. And he did a ton of Zane Grey things, but he also directed a bunch of Harry Carey's, a bunch of Hoot Gibson's, and of course the Mixes. And the interesting thing is the way he's ended his career, I think in the early 30s, he had been up someplace like Bishop or Lone Pine like that on a 3-day location, and they got hit with a blizzard and they were stuck there for 3 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
On the way back, he calls his wife up and he says, "I'm exhausted, but I want to relax. Invite these friends over. I think their name was Wright. He was a retired industrialist and his wife. And we'll have a nice little dinner and stuff." He gets back, and his wife jokingly said, "Yeah, you were shacked up with the star for 3 weeks." And so he accused her of infidelity. It grew into a very violent argument.
Oh, boy.
He thumped on her a little bit, and then went in another room, come back with a gun. And at that point, the stories vary between he took a shot at her, but the gun misfired, or that he didn't. But anyhow, he put the gun to his head and blew his brains out. And this guy was considered the most prominent director, Western director, in that era before Ford and the other guys came along.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do our final commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, and we've got a buttload more to come after these messages.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were built. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's
777-1911. Hello? I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats. But did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right. It's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
I've definitely made up my mind not to sell. Someday the railroad's going to want that canyon for a cutoff. And unless the owner guards it day and night, it immediately becomes a rustler's paradise.
I have no use for rustlers.
Oh, come now, Mr. Reed. You're being obstinate. The railroad may never go through there. And I'm sure we've rid the country of horse thieves. I'll raise the offer $1,000.
Nothing doing, Clark. I'm going to keep it. And shoot the first man that shows up there. Good day.
This is the Voices of the West.
We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. The tunes of Ray Whitley and his Texas Tornadoes.
I was thinking that was Texas Guinan. It sounds like something she would have done.
Yeah, the Texas Washboard Rag. Good stuff. That's from the movie Hitting the Trail, 1937.
I'm going to have to catch
starring,
that
starring, oh my God, his name is Tex Ritter.
Tex Ritter.
All right, so.
Yeah.
There we go. That's,
well, here we are.
Here we are.
I still got some more stuff, but it has nothing to do with Tom Mix or Sky High.
Well, we got
Todd.
We got like 6 minutes
left. Let's throw this out for Tom Mix. Tom Mix, when he was riding shotgun on the stage up in Montana, I believe, or Wyoming, the person he crossed on that, who was driving the other way on the other stagecoach riding shotgun, was Gary Cooper.
Oh, wow. Ah. Interesting.
So, and they would wave at each other. Hmm. And I believe, I could be wrong, so please don't write any letters, because none of us can read or know we have time for them. But I think that Tom Mix replaced, or I'm almost positive, well, maybe it was Gary Cooper who replaced Ed Bolin, Edward Bolin of the Bolin Saddle Company. Mm. And the tie-in here is Bolin goes to California and becomes the saddle maker and leather maker to the Stars. And he invents the, or should I say, perfects the Buscadero rig, and that Tom Mix used in all those films. And, you know, John Wayne didn't use it, but a lot of other people did. And it's just an interesting little tie-in there. Mm.
Yeah. You know, it's the little pieces, the little facets of what goes into these movies, not mm-hmm. just the movie itself, but the backstories, like, you know, Wayne and Cooper, Cooper and Mix, and all these different things. They're all, it's like a beautifully wove Navajo rug mm. that, you know, you don't really see the beauty of it until you spend some time with
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like the movies. You know, you got to spend time with them to appreciate them.
And you got to watch them for the time in which they were filmed.
Exactly.
Do not place 21st century mores upon those movies, because that dog don't hunt.
Well, you know, it's like my one of my mottos now is, it's not politically correct, it's historically correct.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is history trumps anything that you might think is wrong or offensive, because otherwise you're either nullifying history or you're writing it off as there's nothing to be learned from it.
Right. Yep, exactly. Exactly. All right. We got
completely bunker.
We got like 2.5-3 minutes left. So.
Okay, I'll give you a real quickie here. I was watching this week the Joe Gans battling Nelson fight from September 3rd, 1906. The film on it runs 105 minutes. That's up to 38 rounds. They ran out of film, and so it went another up to 42. And the fight ended with a low blow. It was Joe Gans, who was the first black boxing champion, and he held the lightweight title from 1902 to 1908. Nelson was disqualified in the 42nd round for a low blow. But this is something, you know.
And then he went from there on to become the lead soprano at the former Tobacco Choir Boys Choir.
That's true. That's true.
So
he could hit the high C like nobody.
So where did you find the film?
I started looking at silent films, the very first silent westerns, by going to the very first films made, mm-hmm. going down the list.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them at that time were European films, mm-hmm. and I would find something, like I watched a lot of historical events that had to do with one of the little short films was the U.S. Army disloading at Cuba, the very first troops on Cuban soil.
Wow.
And it's just a camera set there static,
yeah.
and these guys marching by.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was the famous Confederate general that was one of the generals in the Civil War.
Uh-huh.
Him with his troops riding by. This guy was as big as a house. He had to weigh over 300 pounds.
Wow.
But it was just, you know, and that stuff fascinates me.
Sure.
And so, but anyhow, I worked my way up to 1906, and that's when I came across this one. I've got more down the line. But, you know, especially the boxing matches. I love, because I love boxing anyway. And mm-hmm. some of those fights, you know, those fights would go 50 rounds, 100 rounds, and it wasn't 3-minute rounds until somebody got knocked down.
I cannot imagine that.
Yeah. And I think Harry's giving me the wind.
It's
up
time here. To wind her up.
Ring the bell, the five.
I'm going to leave it with you fellas with this one last thought.
Okay.
It's tantalizing. It's a carrot at the end of the stick.
Ooh. Yes.
But Nola and I are going to be going exactly when, I don't know, but soon. We're going to be going to the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum.
Ooh.
There is the exhibit there right now is the American Cowboy.
Oh, nice. Man.
And they've got stuff from real cowboys, and they have stuff from movie cowboys.
And make sure you
and presidential cowboys.
Yeah, presidential. Make sure that you take sure. plenty of pictures.
And we'll show them on the show.
Yeah, we'll show them on the show.
Well, okay, and, you know, just remember, I got a great face for radio.
I know. We know that. Hey, a reminder for you, costumes, scenery, and special effects for today's program were provided by your imagination.
Yeah.
That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for listening.
Can you hear the harmonica?
Well, 78, 79. Adios, Mr. Mix. We miss you. It's the mix of things.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.